I'm going to give very much a 20,000-foot overview of PEPFAR and our approach to public health as a development process. We're simply implementing something that's never been done on this scale before, nor in the fashion that we've adopted for this approach. Next slide. And just a reminder of the epidemic magnitude, HIV/AIDS is recognized as a global health emergency demanding urgent action. As of 2006, UNAIDS estimated there are nearly 40 million adults and children living with HIV worldwide. Sub-Saharan Africa, which accounts for just 11% of the global population, accounts for more than 62% of the global epidemic. So understandably, that's where most of our emphasis lies. And if you look at the bottom, we have 4.3 new infections and 2.9 million deaths in 2006. That's 12,000 new infections daily and 8,000 deaths daily. So there's very much a sense of urgency, but at the same time also a need to be building systems as we respond to this emergency. Next slide. This is just a summary slide from the Kaiser Foundation. As of 2005, the total funding to global HIV/AIDS by country, showing that the U.S. government commitment exceeded that of all other countries combined. And our funds are not just sitting there. As of we speak today, 94% of the funding that we've put out into the field is obligated, and 67% has been spent. So resources are moving promptly to the places that they need to go. But I think success, we need to understand, is not measured simply as dollars spent, but in the services provided and the lives saved and building capacity in the process of doing so. Next slide. The Kathy's already showed this, but the PEPFAR works predominantly in 15 focus countries. These account for approximately half of the world's infections. And these countries were specifically selected to achieve national scale-up, defined as achieving 50% coverage at the time that PEPFAR began back in 2003-2004. And to take those countries to scale in terms of prevention, care, and treatment, these are comprehensive programs by 2009. And we need comprehensive programs to build upon one another and synergize with one another in the field. But prevention we regard as the bedrock to all of our programs. Approximately 46% of our funding goes into treatment, 29% into prevention, and the remainder into care. And these are the goals, 2, 7, 10, that Kathy alluded to. But we recognize fully that we can't treat our way out of this epidemic, and so are placing much more attention on prevention as we progress. Next slide. So in addition to being a partnership with the countries in which we have a privilege to serve, PEPFAR is being implemented as a partnership within the U.S. government itself. The implementing agencies working as one U.S. government team under the coordination of the Office of the Global AIDS Coordinator based in the Department of State. State ensures that the implementing agencies listed here are provided with the resources, support, and guidance that they need to fulfill their vital role in the field. And it's really the implementing agencies and their many partners. I've listed there's more than 1,200 partner organizations that they support, 83% of which are indigenous. They're the ones that get the work done through PEPFAR and the numbers that you just saw in Kathy's presentation. Next slide. So we very much support the concept of the three ones, which will come up in a moment, hopefully. And I think most are familiar with this concept that UNAIDS has put forward. PEPFAR supports national priorities and implementation through governments, a range of NGOs and faith-based organizations, and of course the private sector, to empower individuals, communities, and nations to tackle HIV/AIDS. And the three principles of the three ones I think we're familiar with: one, national AIDS action framework, and our country operational plans are based on that; one, national AIDS coordinating authority, and this body has to sign off on the national country operational plan that PEPFAR supports; and one agreed country-level monitoring and evaluation system. Next slide. So this is reflected in the way PEPFAR is organized in the field with the host government, and I have to say, and civil society at the top. We have a U.S. government team on the ground that's led by our ambassador. We have a PEPFAR coordinator in each of the countries who oversees the interagency action and coordination on the ground. Here at headquarters, we're led by the Global AIDS Coordinator, who's in the office of the Secretary of State, and we also have the agency leads in HIV/AIDS. We have 26 technical working groups that try to keep up with the latest evidence and science to put out the guidance to the field, and obviously the agencies at headquarters support their teams in the field. And then most importantly, in the countries themselves, we have our partners, and this whole model is very new within the U.S. government. This has never been done before. We're constantly learning in order to improve the way in which we support those in need on the ground. Next slide. So there's now a complex but welcomed array of partners engaged in combating HIV/AIDS at the global level. I think the emergency plan is part of this broader renaissance in partnerships for international development. It's a new era. The U.S. is challenging the paradigm that we've followed in the past for development, that it's just not a donor-recipient mentality, that this really needs to be replaced with true partnerships, and we only partner in countries that want us to be there and to do so. And there's really, I think, a growing consensus that the U.S. commitment has catalyzed the commitment of others, including the countries with whom we partner. And the Global Fund is a very important aspect of the global partnerships. Approximately one out of three, I think it's more like 30% of Global Fund resources come from PEPFAR itself. We work with the Global Fund in a number of ways, particularly at the country level, where we work with the teams on the ground to leverage PEPFAR resources with those of the Global Fund and provide technical assistance. We want the Global Fund to work. We have even specific memorandum of understanding in terms of who's going to procure what in the case of Tanzania and Ethiopia. Centrally, we have major technical assistance in place to address bottlenecks in implementation as countries call for and request that technical assistance. And we also have key membership positions in the Global Fund board and committees to improve governance, improve the accountability aspects, and the transparency. But overall, PEPFAR is contributing to general development in three basic ways. One is leveraging infrastructure developed by HIV/AIDS to general health and development. I'll have a couple of examples in a moment. Supporting aspects of general development activities that do have a direct and significant impact on HIV/AIDS itself, such as education for orphans and vulnerable children, the gender inequities and income generation challenges in the field. And we're also providing a piece of a larger approach, including pre-service training for health professionals. We're paying much more attention to the human capacity development issue. You just simply, though, can't invest in the workforce. You also have to improve the systems in which they operate in order to be effective. But we have a number of examples in which we're supporting pre-service training. Ethiopia, for example, is in the process of trying to roll out 30,000 health auxiliaries, and I think we've helped so far with about 16,000 out into the field now. And then if you look at the next slide. If you look at the impact of all of this, when infant mortality being kind of the gold standard indicator of the health in a particular country, when you invest in what's accounting for most morbidity and mortality, you're going to see results. And this is just data out of Botswana showing the major decline in infant mortality as spending on HIV/AIDS went up. This is simply the success of their PMDCT program, which, you know, I think is attributable to Botswana's leadership in getting a program aggressively rolled out and using mostly their own resources, but with additional resources from the development community. Next slide. And This next slide is just an example of when we do invest in HIV/AIDS at the facility level. This is now looking at 33 PEPFAR-supported treatment sites in four different countries. Overall, PEPFAR supported 92% of the system strengthening investments in a typical facility, as measured in buildings and renovation, laboratory equipment, other equipment, training, and so forth. So these infrastructure improvements will not only benefit those with HIV/AIDS, but those with other conditions as well. And I think it was reassuring, though we need to do more. The IOM study concluded that overall PEPFAR is contributing to making health systems stronger, not weakening them. Next slide. And this next is just a physical representation of creating just a better working environment in which to, in this case, provide HIV/AIDS care. That was the purpose of the funding, but that also has an indirect benefit to many other conditions that population needs. Next slide. And this is just some data from an FHI study in Rwanda at 30 primary healthcare centers, where they examined 22 non-HIV health indicators before and after the introduction of basic HIV/AIDS care, and only one indicator declined while 15 improved. There were significant increases in uptake of family planning, measured as new, returning, and total family planning users. Also increases in antenatal care coverage, as well as increase in coverage with STD services, in this case syphilis screening. So just, next slide, some more examples of what we're calling connecting the dots of development with orphans and vulnerable children. It's estimated there's over 14 million children who've lost one or both parents to HIV/AIDS, and we have this comprehensive package of seven different types of support that we provide through PEPFAR and the array of partners that are doing this hard work in the field. So far, we've provided care and support for more than 2 million orphans, and there's just an example there of Cambodia, where home care teams have been going out to help households and children plan for their futures. So this is where we can leverage HIV/AIDS funding with other funding that support orphans and vulnerable children. Next slide. Is another example of connecting the dots of development. In this case, food and nutrition. We recognize the complex relationship between food insecurity and HIV/AIDS. Food and nutrition is a component of our prevention, treatment, and care goals. This is an example from Kenya, where patients with moderate or severe malnutrition can be treated. They get clinical nutritional treatment through food by prescription for HIV-positive patients that qualify, that can be backed up at the field level, the household level, by other nutrition and food support programs. We work with many ministries of health and other partners to develop national policies around nutrition, guidelines. We can help with the HIV component in particular, and plans that provide a framework for linking food and nutrition with activities within HIV/AIDS programs. And we also work closely with the AID's Food for Peace program and with UNAIDS World Food Program. Also on the microfinance side, we support a variety of economic strengthening programs, again around prevention, care, and treatment. In 2007, we estimated that in more than 100 activities, PEPFAR teams had planned approximately $60 million in terms of support around that had a microfinance component. And in Rwanda, PEPFAR is supporting an existing World Relief microfinance program to target programs specifically towards people living with HIV and their family members, especially women. Addressing the distinctive needs of women and girls is critical to effective prevention as well as care and treatment. And PEPFAR was one of the first, if not the first, international HIV/AIDS program to actually disaggregate its data by gender in order to know if women are being reached. As Kathy showed, approximately 61% of patients in treatment are women. Approximately 70% of people who've gone for counseling and testing are women. Actually, it's a concern that not enough men are going in for counseling and testing. In fiscal year 2006, we estimate a total of $442 million supported more than 830 interventions that included one or more of these gender strategies. So we view addressing gender inequities as essential to reducing the vulnerability of women and men to HIV infection. Further on connecting the dots of development and education, we work closely with the African Education Initiative. Here's an example from Zambia, where PEPFAR and the AEI are funding a scholarship program that helps to keep in school nearly 4,000 orphans in grades 10 to 12 who've lost one or more parents. And similar programs exist in Uganda and many other countries. It's estimated, too, in some countries that the teacher workforce, more than 30% of teachers are HIV infected in some populations. And so we're working with host country ministries of health and education and national AIDS programs to bring prevention, care, and treatment to teachers in need. Further on connecting the dots with malaria, in Zambia, PEPFAR and the President's Malaria Initiative, PMI, are working together to distribute 500,000 bed nets. We're doing that through an existing HIV/AIDS infrastructure known as RAPIDS, and trying to do so before this year's malaria season. And in doing so, in implementing this through the infrastructure we set up for HIV/AIDS, we've realized a 75% savings in the cost of delivery of those bed nets. So they'll be able to purchase many more bed nets using the systems that we've helped to create through HIV/AIDS. Also, PEPFAR is trying to align more with the Millennium Challenge where we can. And in the case of Lesotho, where they have a substantial health budget, we've actually co-located PEPFAR and Millennium Challenge so we can work more closely together. Next slide is on building capacity. And while HIV/AIDS remains a global emergency, which we're responding to as such, we're also focusing on building capacity for a sustainable response in the long run. And this, of course, is going to take time, but we need to do both. We need to respond to the emergency and build capacity in the process. We estimate in 2007 our contribution to health system strengthening was in the area of $640 million. I already mentioned that 83% of our partners are local organizations who eventually will, with capacity support, hopefully be able to carry on these efforts. We're also supporting major training initiatives, ongoing training, have had more than 1.7 million training encounters. And ultimately, we want to work closely with governments, with partners, and in partnership with others, with their resources, so that these activities are owned by the host nations. But we also need to expand partnerships. We can't do it all. The New Partners Initiative actually is embedded within PEPFAR. It's a $200 million investment where we're trying to engage organizations, especially indigenous organizations, that for whatever reason had never done business with the U.S. government before. We have 23 partners awarded under the first round. We're in the process of awarding the second round. We've had the concept papers on the third round, and we had over 700 concept papers come in. So there's clearly a great deal of interest in partners wanting to take advantage of this opportunity. And we're also trying to engage the private sector more and more. These are just three country examples: Rwanda, Phones for Health, trying to move data and information through the use of cell phone and information technology. In Cote d'Ivoire, EGPAF and a large rubber plantation are moving services to the community in that catchment area. And in Guyana, these companies are establishing microcredit and skills building programs for people living with HIV/AIDS. In rolling out these resources and these partnerships, we believe that we're creating more of a culture of accountability. Organizations are needing to account and report to their funding sponsors, including the Global Fund, as well as PEPFAR and others. And this has important spillover effects that will be important for sustainable development in the long run. Expanding our health system capacity improves the responses for diseases other than HIV/AIDS. Supply chain management systems, building their capacity, improves procurement for general health commodities as well as those for HIV/AIDS. Improving the capacity to report on results fosters quality and systems improvement, and the resulting accountability helps to improve good governance and oversight. And a growing number of nations themselves are investing in HIV/AIDS on a scale commensurate with their ability to do so. So beyond 2008, the next phase of PEPFAR, the U.S. will continue to stand with our global partners to help them to take further control of their epidemic and restore families, communities, and nations' health. Assuming Congress meets the President's request for fiscal year 2008, by the end of the second phase of PEPFAR, which would be 2013, with the new $30 billion proposal, the United States would have committed more than $48 billion over 10 years to combat HIV/AIDS. And our targets in the next phase of PEPFAR will be, of course, to continue what we're doing, but to expand on life-saving treatment, prevention, and care. Treatment for 2.5 million individuals, prevention of more than 12 million new infections, and care for more than 12 million people, including 5 million orphans. So thank you for your time.